Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the final hour of the program for the week anyway. We'll be back. Actually, I won't be here on Monday. I do have a medical appointment. Shouldn't be a big deal, but you never know. And I'll be back on Tuesday. Rick Boz, gentleman who stopped by the station, I do not know how to set up the police scanner. I only use the police scanner that's the app on my phone, which if you don't know how to use that, there's nothing I can do for you personally. If I figured it out, you can figure it out, Rick. Okay. We have Tom Hodgson here in the studio, as we normally do most Fridays. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Good morning, Chris. Great to be here.
Nice to see you, my friend. You have an event coming up for everybody in the region to attend out at the Country Club. Free event, meet and greet. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's hosted by the Dartmouth Republican Town Committee. And,
okay.
And I'm working with them on having Mike Minogue come on November 20th at the New Bedford Country Club from 6 in the evening till 8. It'll be a meet and greet, no cost for anyone to come. And I would encourage everybody, particularly given where we are in this state right now, what's mm-hmm. going on, to come listen to Mike, meet Mike, and you'll decide for yourself. But I have to tell you something, Chris. I've been in public life for a long time.
You have?
Oh, almost 30 years. And this Mike Minogue is the real deal. This guy is, he's a thinker. He's very organized. He's a former West Point grad, Army Ranger, a Bronze Star recipient for his time in overseas during the war. And he's a billionaire who has developed, we've talked about this before, a heart pump in his company the size of the point of a pencil. So they don't have to cut people open anymore. They do it through a catheter. He's a father of five kids. And I've never met someone more prepared.
Yes.
Who does research and is less interested in the politics, of course, than he is in serving the people and turning the state around. And he's very committed to doing that. And if anybody can, with his business background and his self-disciplines, he'll do it.
We're speaking with Tom Hodgson. He's talking about his candidate for governor, Mike Minogue. Tom, among our mutual friends, everybody is saying nobody's ever seen you this impressed with a guy running for political office.
Yeah, and I've never felt as impressed with someone who is so well-grounded, very intelligent, and knows exactly what to do to get the information before he makes decisions, mm-hmm. before he starts talking about things. He wants to know the facts, and he's got a great business background. He's very successful. So we get the benefit of his personal disciplines, his mm-hmm. successes coming through both school and then ultimately the military and then business, the business world. And having those skills to apply to Massachusetts at this time in our history, I can't think of anybody better.
So if you want to meet Mike Minogue, you've seen his television ads. They're all over the place. You've probably seen them on the internet as well. He will be at the New Bedford Country Club.
Yeah, November 20th, this coming Thursday at from 6 to 8. And no cost for people to come. Just come and have the opportunity to meet so you can be better informed to make your decisions. I think, honestly, Chris, if ever there was a time for all of us to invest in understanding who are the candidates, what are they offering for what matters to us, our families, and our right. communities, it's our time. So let's do it and so we make a decision and so we can together turn this state around.
The Republican primary is competitive. I've had Brian Shortsleeve here. I've had Mike Keneally here. Those gentlemen have been here a number of times. Mike Minogue is going to come down. And although he's been here, he had a meeting with you and Jimmy DeMello at the DeMello International Center a number of months ago. The rollout has been interesting. A ton of television ads, ton of television.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that, again, you want to talk about a planned strategic approach to things that makes sense for the people in this state he wants to reach out to. He wanted them to obviously know who he is, and the best way to do that quickly in a broad way was to be able to have his resume out there, have you be able to hear from him directly, and then ultimately he wants to get into the communities and actually look people in the eye and have a chance to meet them and hear from them what really matters to them, because that's the kind of guy he is. He's going to want to know what's important. He asks more questions than he does, you know, pontificate things.
We have Tom Hodgson here, as we usually do. The New Bedford Police Union is asking for your support while they negotiate a fair contract for better education and training programs for their officers. And by the way, I think that absolutely is important to the people they serve, right? You want to have better educated and better trained police officers. That's what they're asking for. And they want new police equipment and technology. And for safe police staffing levels. Again, I think that's not so much for them as it is for us. They can't do this alone. Please support public safety and your brave New Bedford police officers while they keep this great city safe. For more information, I encourage you to visit the New Bedford Police Union Facebook page, or you can go right to their website, newbedfordpoliceunion.org. NewBedfordPoliceUnion.org. This message is brought to you by the New Bedford Police Union. We are talking with Tom Hodge. Of course, he was the chairman of the Trump campaign here in Massachusetts. Tom, how's our president doing? How do you think his week was?
I thought he had a phenomenal week.
Yes.
Obviously, continuing resolution passing was important,
right?
Critically important for getting people back to work. And, you know, it's really interesting. You want to talk about a man who is just hyper-focused on solving problems. Look at the number of things that he's accomplished.
Right.
The wars that he's, you know, brought to an end, the economy, the things that are going well in our economy right now. I mean, I think I just saw something on the news about the landing. We're going to land on Mars in 27. This is a man who doesn't rest.
Right.
And he's unique in every aspect that you could imagine when it comes to serving the people, because all he thinks about, and he's got this unique brain mapping that allows him to come up with solutions. And I don't know whether it came from his construction background. I mean, part it must have.
Sure.
Of how you build things and get to a final conclusion.
Right.
And so what he's been doing and what's happening this week is so significant, because he didn't budge. A lot of times we've seen in the past when the parties start, you know, back and forth over issues, you'll see this, you know, capitulation.
Right.
We'll cut this deal or cut that deal. He said, no, we're not. He's always fought and stood, literally stood by the American people. And you can tell the way he carries himself. He's highly respected, not just here amongst, you know, the business world.
Right.
And more Americans, but also around the world. If those people around the world have such respect for him, how could we not, given what he's doing for us?
Tom, one of the things that when the Democrats shut the federal government down for the longest time ever to try to give health coverage or continue health coverage for illegal aliens, one of the casualties locally was the Cape Air flight from New Bedford to Boston. That ended, you can read all about it in WBSM.com. It's clear to me that it was because of the shutdown that they weren't able to make it. That's a major blow to the local economy.
Yeah, it is, and so many other aspects of our economy and the things that have happened to families and the SNAP programs and all those things. And what's really sad about it, Chris, is, you know, I grew up right outside of Washington D.C., so I've watched how the decline in Congress has happened over the years, to a point where it became such an incestuous, institutionalized place that these people, they're not, as we've talked about before, the people in neighborhoods outside the Capitol going, I need some help over here. And right. They're saying, hey, we're too busy in here playing politics. And sadly, we saw a glaring example of this when Schumer and the rest of the Democrats said, no, if you don't give us those trillions of dollars we want, partially to help feed and house illegal aliens who violated federal law, then we're not going to we're just going to shut things down until you give. Yeah, I mean, that kind of attempt to use political leverage may have worked in the past, but that was my point earlier.
Right.
It isn't going to work with this president. He's saying
clearly
no.
Clearly it didn't work.
No. I'm standing up for the people of this country, and no, you're not going to not leverage us. And Speaker Johnson and the others, they did the same thing. They said, no, enough is enough. We're putting an end to this, you know, cut deals and give this and give that. There's a difference between cutting deals and negotiating legitimately for the mm-hmm. people. This is not what happened, and they ought to all be ashamed of themselves for putting so many people, the people in airports and everywhere else, waiting to get flights and getting canceled. They own it, and shame on them.
Well, look, Senator Markey, Senator Warren, and the rest of the House members from Massachusetts refused to open the government, and Cape Air ended their routes from New Bedford to Boston, which they started with great fanfare, big advertising, spend here. The mayor was involved. Everybody was involved. Everybody was excited. Now you'd be able to catch a flight right out of New Bedford to Boston. And that ended. You can read all about it at WBSM.com. Tim wrote the article in part because of the shutdown. And that is an absolute disaster. And I don't know how, for an example, Congressman Keating or Congressman Auchincloss, who voted to not shut the government down and to not reopen it, can withstand an election when that issue comes up.
Yeah, and I think they ought to be held accountable to
right.
it. People need to call them out and say, I want to know why you thought it was okay to take away an opportunity for all of us.
Right. Right. I mean, look, there are obviously consequences. There obviously are consequences. And you don't know what they're going to be until it happens, but it happened in New Bedford, the greater New Bedford area, lost a major, in my opinion, a major opportunity for another spoke on the transportation hub, all of that stuff, to get direct flights from New Bedford to the city of Boston. And they didn't start that to close it up. They didn't start it to have it open for a couple of weeks, couple of months, and then close it up. They wanted to have it for the long haul. And the federal government being closed killed it. We're going to take a break. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
And real quickly, you don't hear any reflective, oh, you know, we're sorry, we realized that what a mistake we made.
Right.
We shouldn't have done this, and we're really apologetic for all the hardship. You're not going to hear that from them.
No.
Because they don't care. Otherwise, right. If they did care, they wouldn't have done this.
They don't feel that you are even smart enough to understand what happened. Now, I think John Deaton and other people who are running for federal office from Massachusetts are going to put that front and center. Because if it happened to Cape Air and Little New Bedford to Boston flights, remember, Boston to New Bedford was the other part of that flight, right? We were going to anticipate people coming here on a regular basis. All gone. In part because of the shutdown. So I hope John Deaton makes that a central part of his campaign. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. If you want to speak with Tom Hodgson, you can. It's 508-996-0400. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Boy, if you want a good drink, head to the Profile Tavern in East Freetown. Go there all weekend long. The Profile Tavern's absolutely great. Great atmosphere, great bartenders. The beer mugs are already frosted and waiting for you. And what a menu they have. Start with the appetizers, chili, chowder, these soft break baked pretzels that are absolutely amazing. They go great with beer. Go great with anything, really. Then pizza, you can't believe the pizza at the Profile Tavern. Seafood, amazing seafood. I usually get the tavern tips when I go there. great, great meat, all the best, and the barbecue is amazing. You can actually smell it as you approach, coming right off Route 140 in East Freetown. Check out the menu, profiletavern.com, and also, they have live entertainment. Really great atmosphere at the Profile Tavern, located right in East Freetown. We have Tom Hodgson here in the studio with us. Tom, the governor, Maura Healey, not a great week for her.
No, not
a great week for her. I see that one of her senior staffers was let out on bail. This is the guy, in case you're confused, who shot a guy, then got hired, and then was allegedly had pounds and pounds of cocaine in a government building. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that case, but yeah. A Democrat judge let him out on bail. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's. I mean, when you look at the degree to which he was dealing, and it was over a period of time.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly, of course. You know, it's hard to believe that a guy who would have been dealing that amount of drugs would have been given the release that he got. But, you know, again, that's up to the courts. And but the bigger part is, how did somebody like him with his record,
right,
get hired by the governor? And she claimed that their background checks were perfectly fine and
yes,
complete. You know, they were.
But yet she won't release the background check, Sheriff.
Right. Well, and what do you mean by complete? How does someone with a history and a record that this guy had?
He shot somebody.
Yeah. How do you get through the background check?
Tom, let me ask you a question.
To one of the highest positions she had in the state government.
You had a lot of employees. Is it a major red flag on someone's background check if they were involved in a shooting and they were the one holding the gun? Is that a problem for a government employee, Tom? What do you do with an employee like that, a potential employee?
Well, you don't hire him as a deputy, that's for sure. No. That's a huge red flag.
Right.
And for her to make the statement that, oh, everything was fine, to me, that spoke volumes about somebody who is not an administrator. Because the first thing that she should have said was, boy, we really have to look at, we're looking into it right now to see where we might have fallen short on this background check so that we can make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again.
Right.
That's what people expect of you. Things happen in government, you know, but if you don't have the right checks and balances in place, okay, it happened, but you can't just go, well, we did everything the right way, so... Nothing to learn, nothing to see here. No, people expect you to go, wait a minute, I got a concern here. How did that get passed here? That you're the person in charge, you're representing our interests. And she didn't. She didn't even think to at least say it. If you aren't even going to do it, say you're going to do it.
Right,
because that's common sense. If you're an administrator, you don't want somebody to get through the cracks again. But with her kind of attitude, that's the kind of thing that's going to continue to happen.
Shooting somebody is a major felony, right? I mean, that is a big character flaw.
Right? It hurts, too.
I mean, it does hurt, right? And how come no one's talked to the victim, right? And then to be involved allegedly in the importation multiple times of pounds of cocaine, not grams, not even ounces, pounds of cocaine.
Yeah.
Into a state building.
Yeah. That's
not governor.
And then who knows how far into the building it goes.
Mm-hmm.
What were the connections and where were the drugs being, you know, distributed to?
Do we need, right now it's being handled by the Hamden County District Attorney. Do we need a federal special prosecutor?
Well, based on Governor Healey's initial response that everything was fine, I think absolutely you do, because if that's her attitude, then we're never going to get to the real core of the problem, so
right,
it doesn't happen again.
Tom, we got some people on hold. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good morning, Phil.
Good. Just to backtrack a little bit, don't you think that, and I'm a Trump supporter, don't you think it was a mistake by Trump not to ask Congress to pay troops pay the air traffic controllers regardless, just to do it, because they're not going to throw him in jail for it. The worst they can do is probably try and impeach him, and they're going to try and do that anyway if he gets back in. So don't you think it would have been a better public relations and just the right thing to do? If someone's working, they should be paid. So I don't know why he didn't make one of the first orders of business to change those jobs to critical, and we'll keep paying them if we close the government.
Not a bad point.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know he publicly stated that they need to get them back, get the pay to them, and I think they made some adjustments. I thought they'd made some adjustments around military pay, not full.
They did. They did. They moved some money around within the Department of Defense, or the Army of Department of War, to pay the troops, because my understanding is the soldiers did not miss a paycheck.
Yeah, and I think, but to the caller's point, I believe that the president said it. I think he, you know, honored the fact that Congress, you figure it out. They needed to work it through. I thought they did a good job. Not by the people that were hurt by this, but it was it really highlighted, I think, what the American people needed to see about what's been going on in Congress for a very long time, mm-hmm. and now it's all being exposed. People are starting to see what I think a lot of us knew was going on behind the scenes. They were basically controlling everything and saying, we can't hear you out there outside the Capitol because we're in here playing insider baseball. So I think the president tried to encourage the resolution as quickly as possible. And then he started calling for the filibuster.
I got to tell you, for years, I've always appreciated the filibuster because it does keep some rights for the minority party, right? So some years that's the Democrats, some years that's the Republicans. And the filibuster has been used. Now, again, the filibuster today is not the same filibuster it was in the 1950s, even 60s, when you had to speak. You had to get up and talk. You had to talk. Strom Thurmond did it. People have done it. Today, they can just say we're doing a filibuster, and it's considered in place to block anything. You need 60 votes, right? So maybe they should go back to the traditional filibuster where you have to have physical endurance to do it. You have to get up and speak and so that nothing can move. Rather than just say, well, we can just say we're doing a filibuster and that'll be it. I think getting rid of the filibuster would be wrong. I know the president currently wants to do that, but I don't know. What are your thoughts, Tom?
Well, I mean, I think the president still wants it. I think he mentioned that in his, didn't he? I thought he mentioned it the other day when he was doing the signing of the actual, bill. So my guess is he's...
I thought he wanted to get rid of the filibuster.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, I think that would be a mistake.
Yeah, I'm not sure, ultimately with the logistics of how all of that's going to work, but the reality is I think he's frustrated, and I think he's saying that, enough's enough where you can hold people hostage like this, and if getting rid of the filibuster is the way to do it, then that's what we need to do.
I just, here's the argument that I hear, and I think I'm sympathetic to it, I don't know if I totally agree with it, but I understand it, which is that let's do it now as Republicans, because we have the numbers, let's do it now while we've still got the numbers, right? And make the changes that we need to the government, because we know that should the Democrats get back in charge of the Senate, they will do it. They will do it. And then they will run the table. And there'll be no way to stop them because they've blown the filibuster out. So maybe we hit them now while we still got the numbers, right? Maybe that's the right way to do it. But I am a conservative and I am a traditionalist. And I know it's just a Senate rule, but it seems to have been a valuable rule over the years, the filibuster.
Yeah, and I do think, look, we in the next election, I think we may pick up a lot of seats based on what, well, I think based on what the people have seen in what's going on. And I think that being the case, that may be where the members of Congress right now on the Republican side are feeling that,
you know. Well, traditionally, the party that has the presidency gets really killed in the midterms.
Normally. But we've not seen the kinds of things that we just saw, for example, the shutdown, and how many people mm-hmm. have been hurt by this, whether it was through the convenience of their vacations, they were traveling, whether it was the SNAP
the
benefits,
loss of Cape Air.
The loss of Cape Air is huge.
From New Bedford, yeah.
For New Bedford. So, for, you know, across the, when you look at across the spectrum of all the people that were hurt, not because it was good policy to do what they did.
Right.
It was bad policy, and it was a bad decision on the part of Democrats. And I think people are going to continue to feel that when they get into this next election and say, we don't need people like that. We're sick of these people who are more interested in their politics than they are in us. And I think that's why I think we're going to see some gains in this next election.
Well, to win elections, you need good candidates.
Yep.
You need good candidates. Not only that, they got to be smart, and they've got to be willing to work hard, Tom. The way you and I have worked hard to win elections, going out and going door to door. You look at this last election, both sides of the spectrum in the city of New Bedford. You look at James Roy, who's out on the left, worked his tail off, knocking on doors. I got Ring camera videos of him doing it. I don't agree with James Roy, but I saw what he did, and he worked hard, and he earned that seat. Also, Scott Pemberton in Ward 2, unseated an incumbent, a huge incumbent who'd been there for a long time. And so she came right from Washington, D.C., into the city council, and after trying to run for mayor. And Scott Pemberton went door to door. Somehow he went to 3 and 4 times. Shoe leather and being brighter than his opponent really won the day. So you see James Roy doing it. You see Scott Pemberton doing it. And those guys probably agree on some things, but not everything. So it's different perspectives on the political perspective. But the same tactics won the race. So that's what we need, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it look, the ground game and being face-to-face with people, particularly in this day and age where people don't spend a lot of time
right.
face-to-face,
right.
is a real advantage for you. Because people will say, wow, nobody else stopped by my house. I got a mailer. I got this. I got that. And that's different than being able to look somebody in the eye, see their expressions when they're talking to you, hear the tone of their voice, to know how committed they are for what you want as a citizen. And so, you know, Chris, you did it.
Yep.
I did it. There's nothing more valuable than getting out there, knocking on the doors, and not once, twice, three times. And you should, at the end of every single day that you're out there knocking on doors, which should be every day.
Right.
At the end of that day, you should be totally exhausted. And even then, saying to yourself, wait a minute, I'm not going home until I get three more doors.
Right.
Right? And that's the kind of attitude you have to have if you want to win. If you just want to go out and sort of laggy-lag along and, you know.
Get attention
and knock on a few doors and whatever.
Feel like a celebrity.
Yeah. Don't expect that you're going to win. But the difference between being good and being great is very, very small.
Yes.
But that greatness will come if you give that extra effort and spend the time that the people, I think, rightfully deserve from you.
Yes.
Because that's going to be the example of what you're going to be like when you serve them if you get elected. You're going to be there committed doing what they want.
Because it is a busy schedule being a city council. There's no doubt about it. They work. Those who do it right, and there's some who don't, and they lose elections. But it is a busy schedule if you do it right. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. The other thing I want to remind you folks is get that windshield crack fixed. It's not safe. As the weather gets colder, you'll understand what I mean. Hopefully, you won't live that experience. Just get it fixed now. Call Citywide Glass. They're located in Dartmouth and Fall River. Fall River and Dartmouth, Citywide Glass. And they have a website, citywideglass.net. Their mobile team, their tech team, will come right to your home or your work parking lot and fix that windshield. They accept all insurance. It will not cost you a dime out of your pocket. You don't have to go to them. They'll come right to you. Citywide Glass in Dartmouth, Citywide Glass in Fall River, citywideglass.net. Give them a call right now. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Well, not yet. Not yet. We got a few more minutes here with the sheriff, Tom Hodgson, here in the studio. Tom, the governor, Maura Healey, you didn't vote for her. Some other people did, though, obviously. She did win. And, you know, that's what confession's for, Tom. Tom, you're a Catholic, a better one than I am. But that's what confession is for, and that's where I usually sit most days. But anyway, the governor skipped her own hearing. They had a hearing up in the legislature for her attempted tax increases at the local level. We're going to play a little clip from that. Mass Fiscal Alliance, the successor to Citizens for Limited Taxation, that brought us things like Proposition 2.5 and other things like that, real vanguards for the taxpayers. Today, it's the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. They put out a pretty good clip. I'm going to play that, and we'll talk more about it. Here we go. Let's go. By Ario Speedwagon.
Who are you with?
We're with Mass Fiscal, and we're the reason Governor Maura Healey was a no-show to testify on behalf of her bill to raise taxes at the local level.
Is she hiding?
Excuse me, Mrs. Secretary, how come the governor wasn't here today to testify on behalf of that bill?
I'm not sure. You'd have to check with her office.
In March, Matthew Gorkowitz, Secretary of Finance, was joined by the governor to talk about her budget that included a tax increase on prescriptions and a new tax on candy.
Stupid taxes.
Thanks to you, our videos generated millions of views, and Mass Fiscal's call to action resulted in the defeat of those tax hikes. But now Healey wants to give municipalities the power to raise taxes on meals, hotels, and vehicles. Your vehicle excise tax bill could see an additional 5% surcharge.
They took half of my money away for taxes.
We urge you to contact your legislative leaders and the governor to tell them they need to responsibly cut inflated spending at the state level to free up money for cities and towns and not turn to tax increases.
So that is a video you can see on YouTube. You can just go to massfiscal.org, massfiscal.org. Tom, what do you think? I mean, before you were the sheriff, you were a city councilor in the city of New Bedford. The idea of raising the auto excise tax, that's an insidious tax, particularly for people, you know, who need their cars around here.
Oh, absolutely. And this is if not, for nothing else, she's definitely consistent with regards to her inability to be able to manage government in a fiscally responsible way. She's been too tied up in her politics. And that's exemplified here in what she's doing in regards to try to shift the burden over to local government. To say, if you raise taxes, she's not telling them this, but this is her game, then I have to give less local aid.
Right.
So you don't have to worry. You can raise your taxes all you want, because she wants to hide. She's a political coward in so many different ways.
Right.
And she does this all the time. She thinks we can't see this, but we can. And Mass Fiscal Alliance is absolutely, no pun intended, but right on the money. This is outrageous that she wouldn't. You look at the trillions that she spent on illegal aliens.
Right.
Why are we in the situation we're in with regards to the fact that we have to now raise taxes? Why? Because you wouldn't do what you should do, which is uphold the law. You wanted to put the burden on the people you're supposed to be representing.
We got some people on hold. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Um, I
You know, Mass Fiscal Alliance is just such a fabulous organization. Everyone should go online and sign up to receive their emails. But not just read their emails, also donate some money. Because the work they do, they don't do it, you know, they need money to go after the people they do to create 100%. Videos. They need some cash. So, you know, people should really start donating to some of these groups to help them become even stronger. They just came out with a white paper that was released, and it says that the steep rise in Massachusetts electric bills is driven largely by state-mandated climate and energy programs,
yes,
not by utility mismanagement. So basically, Mari Healy and her minions are the cause of our high electric rates. People need to keep that in mind. When you get your outrageous electric bills and heating bills this winter, don't get mad at the energy companies. Don't get mad at Eversource. Get mad at Mari Healy and call her office and give her a piece of your mind. Start putting pressure on her. Don't let her slide. You know, we all have to get more proactive. And when you're mad, call her and give her, you know, nicely, professionally, but let her know how mad you are. And then when it comes time to vote, tell all your friends to vote her out of office. Get rid of her.
Kathy's right, the caller. In fact, even before Mari Healy, the members of the legislature around here, they voted for all those green things. I talk about this all the time. People blame Eversource, and I understand, but it really isn't Eversource. It is the legislature that made them do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great caller. She put it directly the way it should be.
We got to take a break, and then we'll be right back. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. We'll be right back. More with Tom Hodgson. Stick around.